بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our first session for the basic Arabic grammar review. Review, right? Basic Arabic grammar review. What we're going to be doing in this class, just to be clear from the beginning, is we're going to be reviewing material that hopefully we already know, or at least we are familiar with, or yani, if it's something that we are taking for the first time, then you're going to have to Walaikum salam. You're going to have to yani work a little harder to make sure that you grasp it and comprehend and are able to apply it. But for the most part, yani the material that we're going to be covering in this course for the next 4 months, 3 or 4 months or so, are grammatical rules that are found in the Medina Book 1 course. Okay, this book is not Medina Book 1. It's not the Medina course. It's called Handouts for Medina Book 1. And what they mean by that is that somebody has prepared some notes that deal with the issues that are covered in Medina Book 1. Not everything in Medina Book 1, but most of the main grammatical points. Not even all the main grammatical points are covered, but most of them are covered. So there's about 15 areas of important rules, Arabic, basic Arabic grammar rules in Medina Book 1 that these notes, these handouts cover. Okay, sometimes we're going to refer back to Medina Book 1 just so that you have something to go back to for extra information. But for the most part, what is here should be sufficient. What we're going to start with is going to be a basic introduction to the Arabic language. And then today, inshallah, we're going to cover two points. Two very, very fundamental, important points of basic Arabic grammar. After that, then. Allah, Allah. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. عليكم السلام. Okay, so again, today what we're going to do, inshallah, is make a brief introduction to the Arabic language, something related to the letters of the alphabet, voweling, parts of speech in Arabic, the verb and the noun and the particle. And most importantly today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the i'rab of words. What is the meaning of i'rab? Case endings in nouns in Arabic language. What does that mean? How is it indicated? And how does it work? How can we benefit when we know the case ending, the last vowel on the word? What does it indicate? and yani, what does it all mean? After that, we're going to talk about sentence structure in Arabic a little bit, about what type of sentences they are, and specifically the nominal sentence, al-jumla ismiya, and that will be yani what we intend and we hope to cover for today, if yani Allah allows us to be able to complete that. What is very important is that we realize that this is a review, so yani hopefully you're already familiar with this material. You may know it well, or you might not know it so well, but at least yani hopefully it's not something brand new to you. If it is something brand new, then please refer back yani for further information. Refer back to the Medina book, yani, because this is intended as a review. All right. So yani wherever possible, or wherever I see it may be necessary, I'm going to refer you back to the places in the Medina book where you may get further information about this. But hopefully, yani what we cover in the class should be sufficient to clarify each topic as we go through it. And hopefully you won't need to go back to the Medina book, but if necessary, inshallah, we can refer you there. If you're looking at the first page of the handouts for Medina book 1, then you will see that on page 1 it has the parts of speech. So we're going to talk about that briefly. And that's not something that's critical. It's just a matter of having an idea, concept of what are the parts of speech in Arabic as opposed to what they are in English. The second topic is the Arabic alphabet. And all of us, inshallah, and we have some familiarity to Arabic already, so we already know the Arabic alphabet and we know something about it, so we'll just cover it quickly. And then along with that, we're going to talk about the vowels, and the three vowels in Arabic, the short vowels and long vowels. And then we're going to talk about Arabic nouns have endings. And what we mean here, we mean the last vowel on the end of the word. Yani, is it fatha or kasra or dhamma? And what does that mean? What does it entail? How does it work? And then we're going to talk about the fourth matter, the fourth topic here on page 4 is nominal sentence. The nominal sentence, and what follows that is case exercises. Yani, exercise dealing with the case endings of words. So that's what we're going to deal with today. And hopefully, yani, you will get some benefit. Yani, every time we have a class, inshallah, we're going to take a new topic probably. And hopefully, yani, you'll take that topic back with you and look at it, examine it, work with it. If necessary, you'll go to the Medina book and you can find exercises dealing with it more than what we'll deal with here. The exercises in this book are very limited. There are not a lot of exercises because, in fact, what is intended here is just to review the grammatical rules. Okay, so before we get started with our topics today, does anybody have a question, yani, about what we are here for? Yani, what this course is intended to do, and what you're expecting from it? Is there any question that you have? Something that might not be clear, so that you know, yani, what we are getting involved in here? And is there anybody that doesn't understand completely what we intend to do here? Anybody have a question? Okay, I'll give you a chance to think about it. So let me say this. Number one, it's very important that our intention be purely for the sake of Allah, that we are learning Arabic for the sake of Allah. And we're not learning Arabic so that we can communicate with the Arabs in the marketplace, or if we go to Hajj or Umrah to a Muslim country. That's not our primary objective. But our primary objective is to learn Arabic so that we can read the Quran, so that we can read a hadith, so that we can learn about our deen. Okay, so if that is really our intention, then please keep that intention, yani keep your focus on that intention throughout the class, throughout the course, every time you come here, that you're doing something hopefully that will be pleasing to Allah. And in this way, even if you don't do well, and we hope that everybody will do well, but even if you don't do well, meaning you don't learn as much as you wanted to learn, but the mere fact that your intention is to seek the pleasure of Allah, this will be sufficient for you. You will be successful in that, in earning the reward of Allah. To prove one's sincere intention, you have to work. And it's not enough to say, I intend to do something for the pleasure of Allah, and then you don't do anything. You just, yani, passively sit on the bus. You have to do something. You have to do some work. And that work requires that you, outside of the 2 hours of this class, or really not even 2 hours because we have a break for Salat, right? Out of this, the time that we have in this class, you have to devote some time on your own when you go home during the week. And as I always say, and if you're serious about learning Arabic, you have to put some time into this every single day. It's not like a 5 day a week job, 8 hours a day. This is every day, 7 days a week. And how much time you put into is according to your schedule. Some people work 2 jobs, some people work 1 job, some people are retired. Everybody's situation is different. But if you can put, yani, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour a day, you can benefit a lot. You can gain a lot and you'll make a lot of progress. The more consistent you are, the more benefit you're going to get. It's not a matter of putting in 10 hours once a month. Rather, it's better to put in 10 minutes every day, and you'll get more benefit out of this. Consistency is important. And either 10 hours in 1 month, you learn a lot, but by next month, you beat and forgot it. But if you put in some time every day, you're not going to forget so quickly what you just learned yesterday, especially if you're doing it every day. What I expect from you, well, first, what I'm bringing to the table, right? Inshallah, I'm going to come here every time we have a class. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Unless something stops me, I don't have no control over. I'm going to be here, inshallah, I'm going to be on time, and I'm going to come prepared. And I'm going to prepare myself to teach this class. I'm not going to just come in here and say, I already know this, I can just teach it. I'm going to prepare, I'm going to put hours in. Okay? I'm going to sit at home or in the masjid or someplace and spend hours preparing for this class. And what I want from you is the same. Yani that you come on time, that you come regularly, and that you come prepared. That you do some work also. And that means that, yani, if there's any homework, that you do it. Yani, if there's any activity during the class, and if we ask questions or we do some kind of exercise, that you participate in it. And that you be here and that you participate in the activity. Do the best you can. With the help of Allah, inshallah, you can be successful. The Prophet ﷺ said, one of my favorite hadith, well, the first favorite hadith is, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. The actions are judged by intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ إِمْرٍ مَا نَوَى. And every person will have what he intends. This is very, very important that our intention is sincerely for the sake of Allah. And the second thing is, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِلَا وَلَا تَعَجِزْ. And eagerly seek that which is of benefit to you. And seek help from Allah in being successful in what you're trying to do. And don't feel helpless. Yani, if you work hard and you ask Allah's help, how can you not succeed? To whatever degree that Allah has intended for you. Okay, so that being said, in order for you to learn Arabic, I think, yani, generally speaking, there are two very important things you have to do. Number one, you have to learn the rules of Arabic grammar. You have to learn the rules. In order to use this language properly, to read it, to write it, to speak, you have to know the rules. If you don't know the rules, right, you're going to get off track. You're going to go off course. You have to follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, you're not going to be doing it right. And the second thing, after knowing, understanding, and learning how to apply the rules, you have to memorize the vocabulary. You have to memorize. You must memorize. No matter how old you are, you have to memorize. Sorry. And the old people don't like memorization because it becomes difficult as you get older, right? But you have to memorize. You have to learn the rules and understand them well. And you have to memorize the vocabulary. And if you do that and you work at it, inshallah, you learn. And inshallah, alhamdulillah, we have some brothers, and they came to us before in the past, they didn't know the Arabic alphabet. And they stayed for some time and they worked hard at it and they learned the alphabet. And they were able to read and to write and to recognize, yani, even what they see in the Quran. And that's an accomplishment, especially when you're talking about older people that are past 50 or 60 or 70 years old. So some people sat right here and they did that. And some of them didn't think that they could do it. They weren't really that confident in the beginning. But in the end, yani, by the help of Allah, they made it. Okay, so it's getting close now. That being said, we'll stop here. Okay? Does anybody know what time the Iqama is? Is it 12:45? That's what I thought too, but I looked up there, I see it says 12:30. So now I'm trying to... That's why I'm asking somebody who's been here regular. If it's 12:30, then we need to stop so that people have a chance to pray the Sunnah prayers. If it's 12:45, we still have some time. All right, let me just start a little bit. The parts of speech, okay? On the first page, page one, after the title page, the cover page, on page one it says parts of speech. This is not so important to me, but it's there, so we're going to read it, right? In the English language, there are 8 parts of speech. And then they name them. There's noun, verb, adverb, conjunction, pronoun, adjective, preposition, and interjection. This is an English grammar. And we're not studying English grammar here, right? But in any case, if you know something about English grammar, then you know that there's a difference between a noun and a verb. Okay, a noun is the name of a person, place, or thing, like this. A verb is an action word. So, in Arabic, they are nouns, and they are also verbs. And then they said adverb. Well, an adverb is, in Arabic, a dharf. Yani, something that tells you about the position or the time when an action is taking place, in Arabic. A conjunction is something that joins something to something else. Like you say, the boy and the girl. You know, a pronoun is a word that takes the place of a noun. So there are pronouns in Arabic and there are nouns. Nouns is the general classification in Arabic, and under nouns there are pronouns, there are personal pronouns, common nouns, the demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, things like this, okay? So there's also pronouns that takes the place of a noun. There's adjectives. Adjective in Arabic is a sifa or not. And it's a word, it's a noun, actually, that describes, it's a word that describes another word, a description or qualification of another word. Like you say, the big house. Okay, so big is a description of house. What kind of house is a big house? A small house, and so on. So this is an adjective. And a preposition is like to, or for, or from. And ila, min, ala. And these are prepositions. And an interjection is like an expression of emotion. Like a person says, ah. In Arabic, you say, ah, I'm in pain. Or you say, uff. You know, that's from the Quran, right? Don't say uff to your parents, right? Don't even say uff. Like, uff means what? I don't want to hear it. You're disturbing me. You're annoying me. You don't say that to your parents, right? So this is an interjection. And then, that's it, really. That's what they name here. They name the noun, the verb, the adverb, conjunction, pronoun, adjective, preposition, interjection. These are parts of speech in English. I'm not really concerned about them, but I'm just reading them because it came here. Yes. Alladhi and allati, no. Those are relative pronouns. Those are pronouns, relative pronouns. Al-ism, al-mawsool. Anyway, we'll come to them, inshallah. But for now, the point is that these are parts of speech in English. You may be familiar with them, you may not be familiar with them. It's not so important, okay? But it came, so we're mentioning it. What's more important is what follows that in Arabic language, there are three parts of speech. In English, there are eight parts of speech. In Arabic, there are three parts of speech. And this is what you need to know. The three parts of speech in Arabic, they are from right, or I don't know how it should go. It should go from right to left, I guess. Harf, which is a particle, a fi'l, which is a verb, and an ism, which is a noun. Okay? Three parts of speech. The harf, the fi'l, and the ism. I would prefer to say fi'l, ism, and harf, but it doesn't matter. These three parts encompass all eight parts of speech in the English language. Okay, so in other words, if there are eight parts of speech in English and three parts of speech in Arabic, somebody might say, what happened to the other five? Well, those other five come under these three somehow. They come under here. In other words, there may be a classification like ism in Arabic. And under ism would come several things that in English are classified as different matters. Okay? In other words, a common noun, a pronoun, an adjective. Those three things, those all come under ism in Arabic. Okay, so as we start studying and we learn about adjectives and nouns and pronouns and things like this, we will see that all of them come under, in Arabic, the title of ism. They come under the title of ism. In Arabic, in English, they have them under separate things. They call this one a pronoun, and this one an adjective, and this one a so-and-so. And we have those names for them. We have a name for adjective, and a name for a pronoun, and so on. But they come under the general category in Arabic, under ism. And then there are subcategories for an adjective, a pronoun, demonstrative pronoun, relative pronoun, and so on. They're subcategories. But they all come under the title of ism. The next title is verb, and there's only, in English there's only a verb. That's one category. In Arabic it's a verb. But in Arabic, of course, just as in English, there's past tense verb, present tense verb, command form or imperative form of the verb, and so on like this, okay? So in Arabic also we have divisions of the verb. The past tense, the action already is completed. The present tense, it's in process or something that's ongoing. And the command form or the imperative means you're ordering somebody to do something. You're ordering somebody to do something. Or maybe, depends on who you're talking to, it might not be an order, it might be a request, right? Because if you said to your mother, give me some food, you're not ordering her, right? You're asking, please, may I have some food? Okay, but the verb that's used is the command form. But of course, it doesn't mean command here, right? Okay, so we're just saying in general, the fi'l amr, it's called imperative, command form, but in reality, it means you are requesting something. Maybe with force or without force, depending on who you are talking to. And the harf includes everything else. That's not a noun, and it's not a verb. Everything else is a harf, a particle, like a conjunction or a preposition, like this. What time is it?
12:30.
12:30? Okay, we're going to stop right here then. Inshallah. We're going to stop right here. After Salat, inshallah. And it will continue. And we'll read this page and then go to that which follows it, which is more important, inshallah.
Each week you might have, you need to do a quick review of what we did in the previous
inshallah. Remind me. We'll do a review each week of what we had in the previous class. That's our normal format. Now, okay. Let us continue our second part of the basic Arabic grammar review. And again, yani for anybody who may have come late, these are notes. They call them handouts for Medina Book 1. These are notes that somebody has prepared that cover most of the important grammatical rules that are studied in Medina Book 1. Most of them. Most of the important ones. Not the minor or secondary rulings, just the major rulings. Most of them are covered in these notes, okay? So, just before the Salat, we took the break for Salat. We were talking about the parts of speech, and I want to take some time and go over this in detail, and I want to ask you some questions, and I want to write some things on the board. Please ask questions if you don't understand anything, okay? So before the Salat, we said the parts of speech in English are 8, and we mentioned them. Noun, verb, adverb, conjunction, pronoun, adjective, preposition, interjection. We mentioned those. What's more important, in Arabic language there are 3 parts of speech. The harf, the fi'l, and the ism. The harf, the fi'l, and the ism. These are words that you have to know. You must learn them if you don't already know them. Okay, let's go for harf. Harfun. What is a harf? Who knows what is a harf in Arabic language? It's one of the 3 parts of speech in Arabic language. Now,
preposition.
Okay, could be a preposition.
Or
it could be a conjunction. Now, yani, if in general, the word that we'll use here is a particle. Okay? Yani, literally, a harf is a particle. Okay? It includes prepositions and it also includes conjunctions. That's a harf. Okay, what's a fi'l? What in Arabic when we say fi'lun, what do we mean in English? Okay, a verb.
Action.
Okay, word that indicates action.
Can you say the Arabic word again?
Fi'lun. Fi'lun. Fa, kasra, ayn with sukoon. Sukoon, the ayn has sukoon. Fi'lun. It's a verb, action word. Okay, we'll come back to it. Ismun. What is a ismun?
Noun.
A noun. Okay, this is a general word that we use for ism, noun. And it includes many things. Okay? Okay, now, these are the 3 parts of speech. Who can tell me without looking on the board the names of the 3 parts of speech in Arabic without looking on the board? Noun.
Ismun.
Ismun. Harfun.
Harfun.
Fi'lun. Anybody else? Memorize them without looking on the board.
Harf.
Harf.
Ism.
Ism.
And Ism and
action word.
Harf.
Begins with fa, ayn. Fi'l. 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 Now. Fi'l. Somebody else.
Harf.
Ism. Fi'l. Harfun. Ismun. Fi'lun. Somebody else, without looking on the board. Naam, doctor.
Harfun.
Harf. Ismun. Jayid. Somebody else, without looking on the board. You have to memorize this, okay?
Yeah,
there's 3 words. Try to memorize them. Try to memorize what their meanings are and make it stick in your head. This is very important. This is fundamental to Arabic language. Naam. Harf, ism. And the last one? Fi'lun. Fi'lun. Fi'l. Naam, jayid. Anybody else? Okay, look, these are simple words, you're going to hear them again and again and again. As we study Arabic, no matter what level you reach, you're going to always come back to these words. Harfun, ismun, fi'lun. In whatever order they come. Okay? We said a harf is a particle. Somebody give me an example of a particle. Yani a preposition, for example, like for what? Like the word He said a preposition. He said fi. Fi means what?
In.
Fi means in. Give me another preposition. Now. Wow. Okay. Wow. This letter wow is a conjunction, meaning it joins something to something else. It's a conjunction. Now, a preposition.
Min.
Give me a huh?
Min.
Min. Okay. Min. Min means what?
From.
Another one.
Ala.
Ala. Ala means
on
or upon. One more. Now. Ila. Ila means what?
To.
Like, I'm going to the masjid. I'm coming from my home. Okay? These are examples. These are not all of them, but these are examples of prepositions. We already had a conjunction, like wow. What is another conjunction? Another conjunction now. No, it connects, but it's not a conjunction though. Hamza tilwasl. Hamza is actually a letter in the Arabic language. Hamza is a letter. But here we mean a word that's used to join something to something else. Like you said, I ate and then I drank. Huh? That's a conjunction. Then. You could, huh? Amama is a dharf, is an adverb. Now. Thumma, good, thumma. Thumma means then. This and then that. But there's also fa, which means, shows that maybe sometimes the meaning of it is that this happened as a result of that. Okay? It's closer meaning to then, but yani it's different from thumma. Thumma means yani that these things happen one after another in time. This one indicates more so the meaning of something happening as a result of something else. Connected in terms of this resulted from this. Okay, so these are examples of conjunctions. And something is joined in a sentence to something else, connected to it, okay? Whereas the prepositions, these are some of the main prepositions that are studied in Book 1. And there are others that we saw later in the later lessons. But this is just an idea to understand what is a particle. Like fi. Like ala, like min, like ila, like wa, like fa, like thumma. These are particles. These are particles. Now.
When you say harf, and you say ala, min,
and no.
So then why do you tell him harf jar?
Why do we call it harf jar?
Yeah.
Now, these are, each one of these is a harf, the plural of it, huruf, okay? And these are also harf, the plural huruf. But these are different types of huruf. This one is harf jar, preposition. This one is harf atf, conjunction. Okay? So both of them are harf, but they're different types of harf. Okay? These are what's called harfu jarrin. That's a preposition. And these here are harf also. Harfu atfin. Okay? Knowing the word harfu jar and harfu at is not obligatory at this level, at this point right now, because we're going to come to them and discuss them in detail later, right? But they are words that we need to know. What's the difference between harf jar, that's a preposition, and harf atf, that's a conjunction. We're going to talk about them as we go through these notes. But for now, the point is what? We just want to know what is a harf. When we say that there are three parts of speech, we want to know what are the parts of speech. What are you talking about? There are parts of speech. Okay? We're saying that the parts of speech are these three categories. And harf or particle, what do we mean by it? We mean these kinds of things. Okay, so if you got the idea, I don't expect you to memorize all of these words, but at least to have the idea, the concept. What is a harf? What is a harf? Like fi is a harf. It's a harf jar, preposition. Wa, the letter wa with fatha, is also a harf atf, a conjunction. So these are particles. Okay? These are just examples, so we can have an idea what we're talking about when we say harf. Okay? The plural of harf is huruf. Huruf. That's plural. For harf. Alright? Okay, the next one here in line, as they're written here, is fi'lun. We said that a fi'l is a what? A verb. And a verb is an action word. It indicates action, okay? Like, for example, give me a verb in Arabic. A verb in Arabic, yes. Good. This is an excellent example of a verb. Especially because it's one of the words that we had, right? Zahaba. Zahaba means what?
He went.
Zahaba. Give me another example of a verb. Now, jalasa. Jalasa means he sat. One more. Huh?
Kataba.
Oh, kataba. 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 He wrote. What do all of these words have in common? Zahaba, jalasa, kataba. What do they have in common? Huh? That they're actions. He went, going. He sat, sitting. He wrote, writing. He ran. He ate. He drank. Those are action words. These are all verbs. So when we say that one of the three parts of speech is a fi'l, we mean words that indicate action. Now the fi'l, as we will see later on, just for the record, it's not necessary that you grasp every point here, but the main thing is to understand a fi'l is an action word, a verb. That's what's important. Always. After that, this is just extra.
Always implies an action.
We will see that, of course, there are always details, you know, subdivisions and extra points, right? Finer points. But in general, verbs indicate action. Now, sometimes there are words in Arabic that have the function like a noun, but has the meaning of an action. A verb, specifically in Arabic, has to indicate time. There are words that point to actions without reference to time. Like walking. Not past tense, present tense, or command. It's just walking, right? It does talk about action, but it doesn't have time. A verb in Arabic has to indicate time. Okay, it has to have an indication of time. So, not every word that has some kind of meaning of action is always a verb, but that's the general meaning of a verb. It indicates action, okay? So, we'll find some further details when we look on. But what's important now is a verb is an action word. Indicates action. Now, I also just want to mention here that, like in English, there are past tense and present tense verbs. Okay? These verbs are all past tense verbs. He wrote. He did it already. He sat. He did it already. Okay? He went. The action happened already. So there are also verbs in Arabic that indicate the action that's in the process or ongoing. Like, he is eating. Right now, he's still eating. He didn't finish yet. He is eating. Okay? So that's the type of verb. There's a past tense verb like this, and then there's a present tense verb also. And then there's the imperative, yani the command form. Eat, sit, write, command form. Alright? So the verb, it's an action word, and then there are categories, subdivisions of verb, past tense, present tense, imperative form. Alright? And we will look at some of this as we go through these notes. But for now, as an introduction, we just want to know what is a verb. So when we go through this class, when I say this is a fi'l, or where is a fi'l, or give me an example of a fi'l, I don't want you to say fi. Don't say min. Don't say ala, right? Because we already said these are particles. This comes under harf. The last category of the three categories, well, parts of speech in Arabic are noun, okay? And under noun, there are a number of things in English grammar that, yani, in under Arabic, they all come under noun. Like a pronoun. A pronoun comes in Arabic under ism. Although pronoun has its own name. It has a name. It's called the damiya. A damiya. That's a pronoun. Likewise, adjectives, which in Arabic are called not, adjectives in English are separate, T-I-V-E, Adjectives in English are a separate part of speech, whereas in Arabic it comes under this part of speech called ism. Okay? So under ism we're going to have a common noun like house or boat or tree. We're going to have a proper noun like a person's name, Muhammad, Aisha, Maryam, Ahmed. Alright? We're going to have a pronoun like huwa and hiya, he and she. Right? And we're going to have adjectives also. And in addition to that, we're going to have what's called a dharf. A dharf. Which is an adverb. An adverb. Like, for example, you say, tahta al-shajara. Underneath the tree. Fawqa al-sayyara. Above the car. Okay, it's an adverb is a word that indicates the place where something is or it's happening or the time. Like you say, I met him in the morning. That's time. When did the meeting take place? In the morning. In the evening. On Saturday. Last month. Last year. All of that is time. Those are adverbs. Those are adverbs. Okay? So all of this in Arabic comes under ism. All of it comes under ism. Yani common nouns, proper nouns, pronouns, adjectives, adverbs, all of that come under ism. Interjection also comes under there. Like we said, what? Don't say to your mother, oof. Annie, don't even show that much disrespect. Let alone could go further than that, what they're doing today. They're not just saying, oof. They're saying, get out of my face, and they're knocking them down and shooting and killing and stabbing their own parents and everybody, their family. Alright? So, okay, this is the introduction. The details of these are what you study in Arabic as you go along in level 1 and level 2 and level 3 and level 4. You're not expected to understand completely all of these items, every individual item, but what's important is to understand the category. That there are three parts of speech. There's a particle, there's a verb, and there's a noun. And under noun comes nouns, common nouns, proper nouns, pronouns, adjectives, adverbs, all that come under noun. And as you go through your studies, you're going to learn about pronouns. In these notes, we're going to learn about pronouns. In these notes, we're going to learn about adjectives. In these notes, we're going to learn about adverbs as we go through. But now, just to give you an idea that all of this comes under noun. Pronoun, we're going to cover. Adjectives, we're going to cover. Adverbs, we're going to cover. All of this, we're going to cover. Proper nouns and common nouns, we're going to see. Okay? By a proper noun, we mean the name of a person. Or city, or country, the proper name for that person or this city. And common noun, we mean words that are used for things commonly, like trees. All trees are called tree. A big tree and a small tree, an old tree and a young tree, they're all called tree. That's a common noun. Car is a common noun. Ahmed is a proper noun. That's a person's name, a specific person. Mecca is a proper noun. That's the specific name of a place, right? So we're going to learn about all of this in detail. These are the parts of speech. Any question about parts of speech? The parts of speech in Arabic are three. What are they? Ism, harf, and fi'l. Okay, that's what you need to know. That there are three parts of speech. What are they? They are harf, fi'l, and ism. What is a harf? A particle. What is a fi'l? A verb, action word. What is a ism? A noun. Any question? Now, if you don't have any question, that means that you understand the basic concept of what we are saying here. So if I were to ask you a question, not the details, but the basics related to what this topic covers here. How many parts of speech are there in Arabic? What are they? What do they mean? Give me an example. One example for each one. Whoever cannot do that, we have a stick up there for you. Can somebody pass me my stick? Pass him that stick, please. Don't get mad with him. I'm asking him to give me the stick. If you get beat, don't blame it on Jamil. Come on, Jamil. Huh? The one who's getting the stick is going to get the beating? Okay.
Yeah, your mother used to tell you, go outside and get a stick and bring it back.
Now, okay? Yes. Now, hold it. Excuse me, brothers. Amama, khalfa, tahta. Yeah, amama, in front of, khalfa, behind, tahta, below. These are words that indicate the position of something. Okay, these are dharf, adverb. Adverb is in reference to place or in reference to time. We're going to talk about it in detail. Position. Yani, the position of something or the place where it's at. It's above or below, in front of, beside, on the right, on the left. Now I'm like this. Before, behind. Alright? But the main thing is that you have to know these are three parts of speech. What are the parts of speech? And give me an example so I know you know what we mean by harf. Give me an example. I know that you know what we mean by fi'l. You have to give me an example. When I say give me an example of an ism, you have to give me an give me an example of an ism. Shajara. Sayara. Huh? Muhammad. Walad. Huh? Huwa is an ism. Naam. That's a pronoun. Here. Huh? Kitab. Medina. Okay, these are all nouns. They're not verbs and they're not particles. They're nouns. Okay? This is important really to understand this. This is foundational in the Arabic language.
They are the names of things.
Huh?
They are nouns.
Nouns, yeah, because they are the names of things, yani. They represent, yani, they point to something specific, yani, or general, commonly. Yani, they're not actions. Okay? Nouns.
Vocabulary words, I mean, because it'll be easy to remember if you had the words and you can memorize the words.
Nah, they're, for nouns, right? The examples of.
I mean, like, what you're going over today, have vocabulary words. Or should we just.
No, they're here. What, everything that we've said is right here on the first page. The noun is there, the verb is there, the particle is there. Okay, they're all there. I'm going to read the rest of the page, right? But this, what's here on the page is all that, all this extra, don't worry about it. Worry about what's on the page here. That's what you need to know. Now.
There's any difference between when you say ismuka, like ism, name, and just ism.
Yeah. Okay. Yani, when somebody says, ma... Ismuka. Okay, we connect all of these words together to make it like one, right? Ma ismuka. What is your name? This word ism here, in this expression, it doesn't mean noun. What is your noun? It means what is your name, right? So ism, it has many meanings. One of its meaning is name. So if you say ismi Abu Muhammad, my name, I don't mean to say ismi, my noun is Abu Muhammad. No. But ism also means noun. It means noun, it means name. It has different meanings, right? Words have more than one meaning, right? So you have to use the context.
There's a difference between that ism and that ism.
Is there a difference? Yes, there's a difference. There's a big difference. This ism means name.
No, how we know, that's my...
Do they look different?
Yes.
They look the same.
Okay.
They look the same. They look the same, but from the context of how they used, you will understand the difference in the meaning, right? If somebody said to you, ma hadha, what is this? And the answer was, hadha kursiyun, this is a chair, hadha kursiyun. And then they said, huwa saghirun. How would you say? Would you say he is small?
No.
Walaykum salam. You would say what? It is small. How do you know that huwa here means it and not he?
Context.
Huwa means he. It also means it. Right? But the context tells you that here I mean it. I don't mean he. Okay, so from the context you know the difference between this word when it's used here, ma ismuka, masmuka, and when it's used here in the parts of speech are harfun, وَفِعْلٌ وَإِسْمٌ. Here, when we say the parts of speech are, from the parts of speech are ism, we don't mean names. We mean nouns. We're talking about grammar nouns. We're talking about verbs and particles and nouns. In this context, we're not talking about nouns. We're talking about names. From the context. Otherwise, the words are written exactly the same. They're spelled exactly the same. They're pronounced the same way. Just from the context, you know what we mean by it. Okay? Tayyib. Okay, let's read the rest of the page here. Yani, and the part that's related to Arabic, yani, it says parts of speech in Arabic language. From the right, we have ismun, which means noun. We have fi'lun, which means verb, and harfun, which means particle. Now they give us some details here. Under ism, they said, under ism, there's ismun, noun, yani a regular noun in Arabic. And then there's dhamirun, which is a pronoun. And then there's na'tun or sifatun, which is an adjective. And then there's dharfun, which is an adverb. And then there's ismu al-fi'li, which is an interjection. Okay, what are these things? Five things, right? Give me an example of a ism under these five categories, all come under noun. Give me an example of when they say ism here means a noun as opposed to a pronoun. What's the difference between a noun and a pronoun? And just give me an example of a noun and an example of a pronoun.
Both or just one?
One example for each of them. Give me an example of a noun and give me an example of a pronoun. Naam.
And then
we say,
what?
Naam. Like a noun, right? Like Muhammad. That's a noun, a proper noun. Muhammad. And then we can exchange Muhammad in the next breath. Instead of saying Muhammad again, Muhammad met my brother. And then, and Muhammad liked him. Or you can say, Muhammad met my brother, and he liked him. So here's the pronoun, right? It takes the place of the noun.
So brother would be the proper noun as well?
Brother is not a proper noun. Brother is a common noun.
Right.
A proper noun is a person's name, like Ahmed, like Maryam, like Aisha, like Zainab. The person's name, Fatima, that's a proper noun. Okay? But the brother, sister, mother, father, those are common nouns. That common meaning what? That every mother is called mother. But not every mother is Fatima. Not every mother is Aisha. Not every mother is Khadija, right?
Right.
Huh? But every one of them is mother. So the word mother is a common noun, meaning it's common to all mothers. They all share that noun. But proper nouns, every one of them have their own name. Every one of them has their own name. That's the proper noun. Alright? So here we have ism, we mean like a common noun. And then we have a pronoun, which is dhamir, the pronoun. And we mean by that he, she, we, I. Those are pronouns. Yeah. I is a pronoun. Huwa, hiya, ana, nahnu. Those are pronouns. Pronouns. We will look at the pronouns and we'll look at all of them. The first person pronoun, I, or we, that's first person, we are speaking, we are here, we're talking about ourselves. Second person, the one you're talking to, you, yani masculine, feminine, singular, dual, plural, you, talking to you, that's second person, pronoun, and like anta, or anti, or antum, okay? And then third person, you're talking about somebody, he, talking to you about he went, she went, they went. That's third person, right? All of these are pronouns. There's first person pronoun, second person, third person. First person is the one who's speaking. Second person is the one who you are speaking to. And the third person is the one you're talking about. They could be singular, they could be dual, or they could be plural. Okay, these are pronouns. Pronoun takes the place of a noun. You mentioned, or you already have in your mind, a specific person or place. And now you use a pronoun when you refer to it. Use a pronoun. You say he or she or it. That's a pronoun.
You said that the proper name Muhammad, Aisha are pronouns as well, right?
No, they're not pronouns. They're proper nouns. Proper nouns. Okay? In any case, all of these things we're going to come to, you know, most of them we're going to come to as we go through these notes. But this is the introduction, right? Okay. They also have here a not or a sifa, an adjective. A not or a sifa. Both of these words mean the same thing. Not and sifa mean the same thing. Some books use not, some use sifa. They mean the same thing. Adjective. What is an adjective? It's a word that describes, qualifies something else. Okay, if you want to talk about the masjid and you want to describe the masjid, you say the masjid is far. The masjid is near. The masjid is quiet. The masjid is noisy. That's a description, right? So that description is an adjective. An adjective describes another noun. An adjective describes another noun. After that we have adverb, and we said adverb means in Arabic dharf. A dharf. And a dharf, it shows the position of something. and its place, or the time. The time when something is happening. What do we mean by position? We're saying that the chair is in front of the pole. The boy is behind the desk. The imam is in front of the people. The bird is on top of the house. This shows position, right? Or he was eating in the morning. He was eating in the evening. He was running at noontime. When did this action take place? In the morning, in the evening, at noon. I saw him yesterday. I saw him last week. I met him on Monday. This, the time, when did it take place? On Monday, last week, in the morning, in the evening, that's time. All of this is dharf. Dharf means the adverb. It's in reference to time or place. In front of, behind, above, below, like that's place. Time, yesterday, tomorrow, in the morning, evening, last month, last year, like this, time. Okay? And the last thing they mention is ism fi'l, which literally means an ism that has an action meaning of a fi'l. It's a noun, but it has the meaning of some kind of action. Okay? One of the examples of this came in the hadith is bakh bakh. Yani, the meaning of it is well done, excellent. Yani, somebody did something well, and you say bakh bakh. The Prophet ﷺ said bakh bakh, like this. Okay? An example of this that came in the Quran that we mentioned earlier, uff. Yani, uff. It's a noun, but it has the meaning of some kind of action. The action of what? Being displeased. Being annoyed with somebody. And you say, oof. It's really a noun, but it has some kind of action connotation to it, right? So this is called the ism fi'l. Yani ism and fi'l together, okay? Called the interjection. Usually in English they say interjections express are expressions that relate to feelings, emotions. Yani somebody saying they're happy, they're sad, they're in pain, they're tired. Okay, and they use certain words that are like interjections. Now, yeah, and sometimes it's used, yani, if the word is repeated, then it may take tanween on it. Now, all right, so this is in reference to the noun. Okay, and again, I'm saying this is an introduction to the parts of speech in Arabic. The details of this is what we study as we go along, right? The details of it. But now we just want to have an idea. What is a noun? What is a verb? What is a particle? Okay, after that it says the verb, fi'l, it doesn't have much there, right? It says verb is the same as in English. I mean, it's an action word. There's past tense, there's present tense, and so on. And then the last particle, I mean the last thing going to the end is harfun, particle. It says there's harfu jarrin, which is a preposition, and there's harfu atfin, which is a conjunction. And we talked about this already, but just to clarify, the preposition we mean like words like to, from, in, huh? This is what we mean by prepositions. Yani, I went to the house. I came from the marketplace. I went in the building. In, fi. Huh? Min, ila. These are prepositions, conjunctions. It's like the letter wow or fa or thumma. Like this, these are conjunctions. And he did this and then that. Yani, I want an apple and a banana. Or I should say, I want a banana and then an apple. Because bananas are better than apples. According to me.
What are these called?
Conjunctions. Conjunctions. Conjunction mean what? Something's connected to something else. Connected to something else. Alright? Okay, so this is the first matter that we want to cover. And I hope that you understand the details of this is what we will study, right? But this is the introduction to it. This doesn't mean that after this, mashallah, you're supposed to be able to master everything that was said here. No. But what's on the page there, at least know what each of these things are. Yani, what's on this page here in reference to Arabic parts of speech, that there are three? I don't care if you know the eight parts of English speech. It doesn't matter. But know that there are three parts of speech in Arabic, that they are harf and fi'l and ism, know what they mean and give me an example of them. That's what we should know from that page. That's the whole point of mentioning them here now, is so that you become familiar with them, so that when we reach the point of talking about verbs, and when we say, today we're going to study the fi'l, you say, what is a fi'l? A fi'l is a verb. Danny, there are different types of verbs, so we're going to look at different types of verbs. That there's a past tense verb and a present tense. We'll study each of them separately in detail. But at least now, you have the whole picture, and you have a view of what is going to be covered. Now, you have to memorize this Arabic word with its meaning.
Exactly.
With an example.
Right.
The Arabic word with its meaning and an example.
That's the whole picture.
That's the whole picture. Okay? And when I say an example, I don't mean simply one, but with examples. At least one. So that we know that you know what you're talking about. But the more examples you have, the better. Okay, turn to page 2. This is our second topic, the Arabic alphabet and vowel signs. This is also very important, but it's fundamental, right? Yani, we could say, I'm speaking now, I'm not reading from the book, we could say that when you look at the Arabic language, the first thing you look at are the letters that are used to make up what? Words that are used to make up what? Sentences. We want to know what are the letters in the Arabic alphabet, because that's the foundation that it starts from, right? We don't start with words, you start with letters to make words. And then words make sentences. Alright? So the first one we look at are the letters. How many letters in the Arabic alphabet? 29. Some people say 28. We're not going to have a long discussion about that, but in any case, there are really 29 letters in the Arabic alphabet. There really are 29. Okay? But if we're talking about consonants, there are only 28 consonants. Because aleph is a letter, but it's not a consonant. And it doesn't have a sound of its own. Like ba and ta and tha and jim, they have a sound of its own. A consonant is a letter that has a speech sound. Okay, aleph doesn't have a sound of its own. So aleph is a letter in the Arabic alphabet, but it's not a consonant. So that's probably some of the reasoning why some people say 28, some people say 29. There are 28 consonants, there are 29 letters. The Arabic letters of the alphabet are 29 in number, all of which, with the exception of aleph, are consonants. Consonant means it has speech sound. And also, I will mention here, just for the record, and it comes in lesson 3 in the Medina Book 1, okay, it comes in lesson 3 in Medina Book 1, that the letters of the Arabic alphabet, one of the classifications of letters in the Arabic alphabet, are al-huruf al-shamsiyya and al-huruf al-qamariyya. It's in lesson 3, Medina Book 1. Al-huruf al-shamsiyya and al-huruf al-qamariyya. What do we mean by huruf shamsiyya and qamariyya? Sun letters and moon letters. Solar letters and lunar letters. However you want to explain it, yani translate it, means the same thing. Sun letters and moon letters. And this is not covered here at this point, but I just want to mention it in passing. The sun letters are letters that have a special rule. Yani, whenever that word that begins with a sun letter has alif lam, the lam of al bait, al kitab, that lam, the l, is not pronounced. If the word that l is attached to If the word that L is attached to is a sun letter, like Shams, when you put L here, this L is not going to be pronounced. Okay? So instead of saying El Shamsu, we're going to say what? Ashamsu. I'm saying this in passing. We can discuss this in detail at another point, but I'm just saying that in reference to the letters of the alphabet, the consonants, I mean, the 28 consonants, that they are divided into sun letters and moon letters. Sun letters, and they have the rule like the word shams, meaning if they have aleph lam, you don't say el shams, but rather that sun letter is going to be doubled and the lam is going to be merged into it, so you're not going to pronounce the sound of el, you're going to say ashams. That's why you don't say el samad, right? You say what? Al samad. You don't say el rahman, but you say al rahman. Okay, so this is a rule that we have to discuss in some detail, but not at this point. Okay, so the letters are divided into sun letters and moon letters. Moon letters, the lam of the definite article El, the lam is pronounced El Beit, El Kitab, El Walid, like this, okay? But the sun letters, words that begin with sun letters, then the El sound is not pronounced in those words when they begin with the definite article Alif Lam. Okay, after this, it says there are three vowel signs in Arabic. There's Fatha, and there's Kesra, and there's Dhamma. And by the way, two words are spelled wrong here. Fatha, yani, please make a note that Fatha should be F-A-T-H-A-H. Fatha, okay, should be F-A-T, they have it spelled F-A-T-A-H. Should be Fatha, Fatha. And also, Dhamma should be with A. M-M, Dhamma. Okay, they have spelt it with U. It's not Dhamma, it's Dhamma. Dhamma. Alright, so just make a note of that. It's just a spelling, that's all. Printing mistake. Okay, there are three vowel signs in Arabic. There's Fatha, there's Kasra, and there's Dhamma. Fatha is indicated by a little diagonal stroke above the letter. Dhamma is also a sign that's written above the letter like this, and Kasra is written below the consonant. Okay, so they said Fatha, which is written above the letter, denoting A sound. For example, Del with Fatha is Da. Ra with Fatha is Ra. Kasra is here, the Kasra is written below the consonant. It says denoting I sound. For example, Del with Kasra, D. Ra with Kasra, Ri. And Dhamma is this symbol that looks different than these two. It looks different altogether, this sign here. Dhamma is also written above the consonant, and it denotes U sound. For example, Del with Dhamma, Du. Ra with Dhamma, Ru. Okay, these are the three vowel signs, meaning the signs that are used to indicate vowels in Arabic words. Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma. If there's no vowel on a consonant, the absence of a vowel is indicated by what? Sukoon. It's indicated by sukoon. Okay, here it'll be indicated by a circle, but sometimes it may be indicated by other symbols, one that almost looks like Dhamma. In the Mus'haf usually, they're using this kind of symbol. It looks something like a Dhamma, but it's colored in. Alright? Sometimes they even use for sukoon something that looks like this. In any case, the meaning of sukoon, it means that there's the absence of a vowel sound. Yani, meaning a letter doesn't have a vowel sound. Okay, so you're just going to pronounce that letter without a vowel sound. How can you do that? You can't do that unless there's something before it or something after it to connect it to. Okay, because you can't pronounce a consonant without a vowel. So if there's a consonant that doesn't have a vowel, that means in order to hear its sound, you got to connect it to something. All right, and we can talk about that at another time. But what's important here is that there are three vowel signs that indicate the three vowel sounds. And then there's sukoon, which means the absence of a vowel. A consonant that does not carry any vowel is marked by a sukoon. And the other thing that we want to say, and it's not mentioned here, is that each of these three vowel sounds that are indicated by these vowel signs, the three sounds, a, e, and u, can also be elongated. They can be elongated so that it becomes a, e, or oo, right? So Fatha is elongated by the letter Aleph that makes it sound like ah. And Dhamma is elongated by what? The letter Wow, which makes it sound like oo. And Kesra is elongated by yeah, which makes the sound of E. Okay? There's only three vowel sounds, but they can be short or they can be elongated by one of these three letters. Any question about the vowel sounds? A, E, U. They can be elongated by being followed by one of these letters. Aleph, Waw, or Ya. Okay, after this, we're going back to the parts of speech again. says in Arabic there are three parts of speech. There's the harfun, particle, fi'lun, verb, ismun, noun. Arabic, the Arabic word ismun includes English nouns, common nouns, proper nouns, pronouns, adjectives, and adverbs. All of them are included under what? What we said here, ism. All of them are included under ism. The Arabic word fi'lun is coextensive with English verbs. I assume that they mean by that the word in Arabic, fi'lun, has the same meaning as verb in English. It's an action word. It doesn't require any explanation. The same, whatever you understand for a verb in English, basically, yani it has the same meaning, pretty much. As far as the details where they differ, that's in a higher level of study that we'll come to in time, inshallah. All words besides ismun and fi'lun, everything else is harfun, particles. Everything else, if it's not a noun and it's not a verb, then it's a particle. Okay, now we're going to go into a little bit of detail about the noun. Okay, we're going to go into a little detail about the noun because the noun is the first thing that we're going to be working with as we study. Before we study verbs and particles and stuff like that, we're going to talk about nouns. Okay, so we're going to say this about nouns. The first thing, ismun, noun, may be indefinite or definite. And indefinite in Arabic is nakiratun. Nakiratun. And definite is ma'rifatun. Ma'rifatun. Okay, take your eyes off the book for a second. How do we say indefinite in Arabic? Nakiratun. 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 How do we say definite? Definite now. Ma' with sukoon on the ayn. Ma'rifatun. 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 Nakiratun. Ma'rifatun. These are words we have to learn. Because we're going to talk about all the time, forever. Yani we're not going to get any place in Arabic, whatever level we reach, where we're going to forget about saying nakira and ma'rifa. We're going to be using those words forever. Learn them, memorize them, learn how to write it. Learn how to write these words without looking. Write it 2, 3, 5, 10 times until you can write it without looking. Ma'arifa. Every time you write it, say it. Ma'arifa. Write it, say it. Write it, say it. Until it sticks in your mind. Because these are fundamental terms and expressions that relate to Arabic language.
They're not written here though, right?
Yes, they're written here. Somebody show him, please. Ism noun may be indefinite, nakiratun, or definite, ma'arifatun. There are no definite or indefinite articles in Arabic language equivalent to English A or N or the. And in Arabic, we don't have a word for A or N or the. Rather, the meaning of A or N or the is indicated in Arabic in a noun by either adding a double vowel at the end of the word or alif lam in the beginning of the word. Okay? In other words, the noun that you want to make definite or indefinite, you're either going to put alif lam in the beginning of it. For example, we have here the word bait. If we want to make it definite, we're going to put alif lam in the beginning of it. Then it became definite. The house. If we want it to be indefinite, we're going to double the vowel at the end of it. And then it will become a house. Or an apple. Huh? El Beitu. It can't be El Beitun because El means the and un means a. So it can't be the a house. I want the a house. Now which one? Do you want the house or a house? One or the other, right? Can't be both of them. Whenever you put alif lam on a word, you have to get rid of one of these vowels. Get rid of the tanween. If you put tanween on a word, you gotta get rid of the alif lam. One or the other. They don't coexist in the same way that kufr and iman don't coexist. Huh? Tawheed and shirk don't coexist. Yani shirk removes the person's tawheed. Establish tawheed, they remove the shirk. طيب ألف لام is the definite article in Arabic. A-L. Tanween, two dhammas, un, in, and two kasras, two fatha. That's the indefinite article. Okay, so we said the noun may be indefinite. Nakiratun. Yani it has tanween on the end, two dhammas, or two kasras, or two fathas. Or definite. Ma'arifatun means it has alif lam in the beginning. There's no definite or indefinite articles in Arabic language equivalent to English a, n, or the. Indefiniteness of the ismun, of the noun, is indicated by what? Tanween. In English, they call tanween nunation. Nunation. Nunation means what? That there's an N sound. Yani, nunation comes from what? The word in Arabic, noon. Noon is what? The name of this letter. This letter in Arabic is called what? Noon. So when you put the noon sound on the end of a word without writing a noon, but you want to pronounce it as though there's a noon there, then you use what's called tanween. Tanween means you double the vowel at the end, which means pronounce this U as though it is U-N. Meaning it has what? The sound of a noon. That's why in English they call it noon nation. Meaning that they're making the word, the vowel on the end, the dhamma, sound like you are writing a noon. But you're not writing a noon. Instead of writing another noon, you just what? Double the vowel. Just put another dhamma, or another kasra, or another fatha. Okay, this is called, in English, nunation. In Arabic, it's called tanween, which means the vowel sign is doubled at the end of the word. So you have a word with a single vowel, a noun, not a harf, not a fi'l, a noun. It has a single vowel, a dhamma. You want to make it indefinite? Just add another dhamma. It has a single kasra? You want to make it indefinite? Add another kasra. It has a fatha? You just add another fatha. That means you have made it with tanween. Tanween means that that word is indefinite. We should note here that there are some words that have tanween and they are not indefinite though. Proper nouns like Muhammad. I want to stick to male names because female proper nouns don't take tanween. But masculine proper nouns take tanween, and all proper nouns are definite. So if you see a proper noun, a person's name, like Mahmoodun or Muhammadun, then know that even though it has tanween, because it's a proper noun, it's not indefinite. It's not indefinite. Okay, generally, a word that has tanween means it's indefinite. But proper nouns, masculine proper nouns take tanween. But they're not indefinite.
Have you ever explained why proper
noun takes tanween? No, because masculine proper nouns take tanween. That's the rule. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Masculine proper nouns do. That's the Arabic rule in Arabic language. Masculine proper nouns take tanween. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. There are exceptions to the rule. That's advanced, right? That we'll come to down the line. But right now, what's important is to know tanween, generally speaking, indicates that a word is indefinite. It's not definite, it's not specific. Give me a book. If somebody says, give me a book, you can give them anyone, right? Just go up there and pick the first one that's closest to you, the smallest one, the lightest one, give them that. That's a book. If they say, give me the book, now they're talking about specific, you have to say, the book? Right, which one do you mean? Because the book means they're talking about a particular specific book, right? A definite, specific book. So now you have to know which one they want, because they don't just want any book. So there's a difference between something definite and something that's indefinite. So this tanween and alif lam is very important. Pay attention to it so you know that something is specific, it's definite, or it's not specific. Okay. Definiteness is indicated by alif lam. Indefiniteness is indicated by tanween, two vowels at the end of the word. Definiteness is indicated by alif lam in the beginning of a word. The definite article is in the beginning of the word. The indefinite article is at the end of a word. And they can never be together on one word. The same word at the same time. And if one of them comes, the other one has to go. Okay, here are some examples of words. They gave us, for example, let's look on the right side, the word a pen. The word for a pen is what? Qalamun. With tanween. That means it's indefinite. A pen. If you want to make it definite, it becomes the pen, what? Al-Qalamu. Became Al-Qalamu. The Tanween is gone now. Because Aleph Lam came, right? Another example they gave us, a book is what? Kitabun. With Tanween. If you want to make it definite, the book, it becomes what? Al-Kitabu. I hope this is clear. Yani the same word, if you put Aleph Lam, it makes it definite. If you put Tanween, it makes it indefinite. That's the general rule in Arabic. Definite and indefinite. Since ismun, yani a noun, cannot at the same time be definite and indefinite, Tanween and Aleph Lam do not coexist. They do not coexist. They cannot be together on the same word at the same time. So you cannot say Al-Kitabun with Tanween or Al-Qalamun with Tanween. And you can't have Aleph Lam and Tanween on the same word. This would be incorrect. Tanween is also used with proper nouns. And here we should make a note that they mean masculine proper nouns. What they're saying here is not applicable to feminine proper nouns. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Alright? So, you should write in there that tanween is also used with proper nouns, meaning masculine proper nouns. Not all proper nouns, only masculine proper nouns, not feminine proper nouns. For example, Muhammadun, that's a masculine proper noun. Khalidun, that's a masculine proper noun. Zaydun, that's a masculine proper noun. So masculine proper nouns is what they're talking about here. They are used with tanween. Even though there's a tanween at the end of the noun, the masculine proper noun, these proper nouns are definite. And even though they have what? Tanween. But they're still definite. Because all proper nouns are definite. It's just that masculine proper nouns in Arabic are allowed to have tanween. Feminine proper nouns are not allowed to have tanween. But that tanween on a proper noun, in this case a masculine proper noun, does not make it indefinite. Because all proper nouns are definite. All proper nouns are definite. This is a very important point. I hope that it is clear. Okay. There's one more topic for us to cover today, and we can't cover it all, yani, in the few minutes that's remaining. So I'll just introduce it, and then, inshallah, I'll introduce it, and then, inshallah, in the next class, we'll cover it in detail. Now, common nouns. Common nouns, like what? Uncle? Yeah, ab, and and am, yani, father, mother, uncle, aunt, cousin, like this. These are common nouns. They're shared by everybody who's a father, or everybody who's a mother, or everybody who's an uncle. It's called am, it's called ab, it's called Those are common nouns. That means that the word is definite now. It's still a common noun, but it became definite by Aleph Lam. How we can say Al-ab. Al-abu, al-ummu. Now, it's common in that what? That every father is going to be called al-ab. Every mother is going to be called al-um, even though it's definite, it's still common. Everybody is getting the same word used for them. So it's still common to everybody. Okay, if it's definite or indefinite, it's still common. That doesn't change it from being common. Okay, the topic that we want to discuss in the next class in detail is on page 3. I was hoping that we would have covered it today, but in any case, I would rather take my time than to race through this. Okay, so I want you to really grasp it, and I want you to go back and read it, and I want you to work with it a little bit, so that when you come back next week, you haven't forgotten what we talked about in this class. So in the next class, inshallah, we're going to go into detail on this topic that is in front of us in the next few minutes. I'm going to just try to read it, and then in the next class, we'll discuss it in detail and give more examples, and we'll have some back and forth with it. Okay, what we're talking about here is al-i'rab. That word is not on the paper there, so I'm going to write it here. Al I'rab. Or is it there? Al I'rab. Okay, this word here, Al I'rab. Huh? Al I'rab means the case ending. Yani is a word, as we have written up here for all time to look at, is it in the nominative case, in Arabic called marfu'un, or is it in the genitive case, in Arabic is called majrurun, or is it in the accusative case, in Arabic which is called mansubun? And in the case ending, in English, basically the accusative case means that it is the object, like the object of a verb. It's called accusative case. The genitive case in English is really the possessive case. They say genitive, they mean possessive case. Okay, showing possession of something. And the nominative case in Arabic, marfu'un, is really the subjective case. Yani the subject that's being talked about, the subjective case. So this is yani nominative, genitive, accusative. You could also say subjective or the subject, objective or the object, and accusative, objective, and genitive, possessive. And we'll see how they relate in Arabic more clearly as we actually go into the details of this. But in any case, the point is, they use these words or other words to express the function of the word in the sentence. Is it the subject? Is it the object? Is it possessive, showing possession of something or whatever, right? So these classifications are very important in Arabic. So it's incumbent upon you, before you come to class next week, to memorize these three words. Yani, marfu'un, nominative, majrurun, genitive, and mansubun, accusative. And we'll talk about the details of what they mean as we go through this study. But here, we're just laying the foundation, so at least you know the words. So when we start using them, you know what they mean. Okay, so what does it say here? It says, Arabic nouns have endings. Meaning, at the end of the word, al-i'rab, there's an ending. What's the ending on this word, al-i'rabu? What's the ending? Dhamma. Dhamma. Okay? So Arabic words, they have endings. Here's another word, right? It has an ending, dhamirun. Okay? Perhaps the ending could be a kasra, or it could be a fatha, or it could be a dhamma. Whenever a word is in the nominative case, the vowel ending is going to be dhamma. And whenever it's in the genitive case, majrur, the vowel ending is going to be kasra. And whenever it's in the accusative case, the vowel ending is going to be fatha. Okay, so when they say the ending of the word, yani the case ending, they mean it's i'rab. Yani it means the ending of the word that tells you its function or position or its job or its work in that sentence. What is its function? So Arabic nouns have endings to show their functions in a sentence. They have endings to show their functions in a sentence. Just like us, when we go to the office, bank, or factory for work, we have work clothes or uniforms. When we go to formal functions like weddings or walimas or reception, we dress accordingly. When we are at home, we wear different clothes. And when we retire for the night to sleep, we put on sleeping dress. In short, we dress according to what the occasion or function demands. Similarly, the nouns have different endings to show their function in a sentence. It can be a subject of the sentence, which is the nominative case, or marfu'un in Arabic. Or it can be an object of a verb, which is the accusative case, or in Arabic, mansub ending. Or it can be a possessor. The possessive case, yani possessor of a thing, or come after a preposition or an adverb, which is the possessive or genitive case in Arabic called majrur ending. In other words, when a noun is the subject of the sentence, that's a function. If it's the object of a verb, that's also a function. If it's the object of a preposition, that's a function. Okay, if it's the possessor, and you say the book of Muhammad, or Muhammad's book, Muhammad is the possessor. Okay, so that's a function. It's the one that's possessing, or the thing that's possessed, or it's the object of a preposition, or it's the subject of a sentence. All these are different functions that a word may take, a role that it plays in the sentence. And we need to know, what is the role of this word in the sentence? We need to know how do we know what's the role? By the case ending, by the i'rab, by the Dhamma or Fatha or Kasra. These are primary case endings. They're also secondary case endings that come later on in the next level, second or third level. Okay, but these are the primary signs of the case endings or i'rab. There are three endings of noun. The vowel sign on the last letter of the noun. The vowel sign on the last letter of the noun. There are three endings. There's Dhamma, there's Fatha, with a H in there, huh? F-A-T-H-A-H, Fatha, and there's Kasra. So you can see they gave some examples. Yani for Dhamma, Al-Kitabu, Kitabun, Muhammadun, Al-Babu, Babun. For Fatha, they gave Al-Kitaba, or Kitaben, with Tanween, Muhammadan, Al-Baba, with Fatha, single vowel, Baben, with two, Fatha, right, Tanween. And then they gave for Kasra Al-Kitabi, with a single vowel, Kitabin, with a double vowel, Muhammadin, with a double vowel, Al-Babi, with a single vowel, and Babin, with a double vowel. And we noticed that the reason why some of those words have a single Kasra or a double Kasra is because of what? Because indefinite or indefinite, because of Alif Lam or Tanween, they don't come together. So if you have Alif Lam, it has to have a single vowel. If you don't have Alif Lam, then it'll have a double vowel. Okay, and generally the single vowel, yani, indicates that a word is indefinite, and the Alif Lam indicates that it's definite. Okay, quickly, we have 1 minute remaining. We'll come back to this and start with this next week. Somebody remind me that we want to go over this in detail. This is a critical matter right here. When the last letter of a noun has a Dhamma, it is said to be what? Marfu'un. It indicates the nominative case, meaning that it's the subject of the sentence. And then they give some examples like Dhaba Muhammadun, Hamidun, Talibun, Mujtahidun, and Amina Bintu. We're going to go into those in detail. The second, when the last letter of a noun has a Fatha, it is said to be what? Mansubun. With Saad, it indicates accusative case, or that is the object. And they gave examples. And the third one, when the last letter of a noun has a Kasra, it is said to be what? Majrurun. It indicates genitive case or possessive. Please memorize the above Arabic terms and watch carefully the ending vowel signs or nouns to know its function in the sentence. Okay, again, in the next session, inshallah, this is the topic that we want to start with. Arabic nouns have endings to show their function in the sentence. They either have Dhamma, Kasra, or Fatha, showing that they are what? Marfu'un, or Majrurun, or Mansubun. And this is very, very important to understand in Arabic grammar. These endings, these case endings, in understanding the correct meaning of what is intended by a word in a certain position in the sentence. What is its function? What is it doing there? Okay, so we're going to stop here, inshallah. We're going to start with this in the next class. Please go over what we went over today and preview the next couple of pages. Please preview the next couple of pages. And put in some time every day. Jazakum Allahu khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Brothers and sisters, please do not forget. Please do not forget that kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every soul is going to die. Our time is coming. It's very near. Please let us ask Allah to help us to be successful in worshipping Him in the time that we have, because it's short. Don't think you're going to live a long time. And you might live another 50 or 60 or 70 years, not much longer than that.